This morning, I got to get one more prop out here. This morning, I got to do a few things before we get into the message this morning. You get in your Bibles to John chapter 15 this morning. Caitlin, you're running the camera this morning? All right. I'm going to be doing some writing up here a little later in the message, and I'd just love you to have the camera on that close so then everybody can see what's going on here this morning. Just give you a heads up for that. We are in our seventh I Am statement this morning. It's the last one. We've been through this entire series of Jesus' I Am statements, and we know what that means. This morning we conclude with this, and it is, I am the true vine. And I want to bring this all together today and being connected to Jesus Christ, the most important thing that we can do in our lives, and what that should look like for us in our day-to-day lives as well. I'm going to also tell you this morning that this conversation takes place between Jesus and his disciples. Would have been Thursday night, would have been after the Last Supper, before the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was taken hostage, you know, and he was hauled off by the Roman guards. Somewhere in that evening, they had this conversation. And then, so let's read together. I'm going to encourage you to turn your scripture. And if you have your own Bible with you too, please feel free to keep that Bible open, write in it, take some notes. Here's what Jesus says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now, to put that in a little bit of context here before we pray, he goes on to have a few more stories with his disciples, and then he get arrested. So think of the context of those words when he speaks to them and how they were listening that night, not knowing what was to come. So let's begin there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you bless this message, that these words are yours and never mine. And I pray you fill me with your spirit this morning. Lord, for those that have gathered here in this house and online, may you bless them in the presence of your spirit. May you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. As usual, I want to start with a question this morning. What are you connected to in life? Somebody want to throw out some answers to the things in your life that you are connected to? I brought one along that I think that you'll be able to relate to very well, but I want you to bring more. Anybody connected to this? Has anybody ever forgotten their phone, they left home, and then you leave? What is your thought? It's panic, right? Yesterday afternoon, Dory and I were working out in the yard, and I had to go back and to the farm over here and check some cattle, and I didn't have my phone with me, and I thought, all these crazy things go through my head. What if I have an emergency? What if I run into something I need help? What am I going to do? And then I thought, well, what did I do 20 years ago when I didn't have one? Right? Yeah. What else are you connected to in life? What are the things do you know of that you're connected to? How many of you are connected to your community? Right? You're involved, you're active in many different ways. What about your school? How many of you are connected to your school and the system, sporting events, teachers, those types of things, administration in your local school? What about your family? Are you connected to your family? Right? I can keep coming with these different connections. What about your place of work? How are you connected to your place of work in many ways? What about your church? How many of you are connected to your church? And I'm hoping this morning that some of you, if not all of you, would say, I'm also connected to Jesus in the midst of all the things that are going on in our lives here today and the things that we're connected to that pull and take away maybe our time, our energy, some of our strength, that we are connected to so many things in the world today. And so here's a quote from Corrie Ten Boom. How many of you know Corrie Ten Boom? Not personally, but I've heard of her, right? I don't know her personally, but this is what she said about being connected to Jesus. Connected with him in his love, I am more than a conqueror, meaning that all things are possible. But without him, I am nothing. And I hope that when you leave here this morning that you'll understand that more and you'll get that at a deeper level. Because only when we're connected to him can we do things in the church. Only when we're connected to him can we love each other like Jesus loved people unconditionally. Only if we're connected to Christ can our prayers be lifted up and be answered. Only if we're connected to Christ can we do the work that he enables us to do. And so we must remain in Jesus. There's no other way. And so we got this metaphor this morning about the vine and the branches. And I got a picture up there this morning of a vineyard. And you got this idea of that main stem and then branches come off of there and so on. But he gives us this metaphor as the vine, and we are the branches. And we're connected to him because it sustains our lives. Whether you want to admit it or not, God gives you the air that you breathe. So if you have your Bible open with me this morning, you can look at John 15. We're going to kind of go through this again this morning. He says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And by the way, this is the first time that in the I am statements that actually the God the Father is brought into this. Jesus brings God the Father in. And this I am statement. And to be honest with you, it's not a very good feeling I am statement when you start to look at that and what it actually means. God's the gardener. He cuts off the branches that produce no fruit. This is what it means. God is the judge in judgment day for those who believe and those who don't believe. And there's no in between. Either you're producing fruit or you're cut off. Either you have salvation or you don't. That's what Jesus is trying to get at here. Either you're living for him or you're not. And that's not such a good feeling, I am statement this morning, but I wanted to bring that to you this morning because you need to hear this, church. And a cut-off branch, how many of you ever trimmed trees around here? Right? Yeah, everybody's, yeah, I don't want to admit to that because it's a terrible job. Yeah, but there's always, but when you trim a tree off, what happens to the branch that you cut off? It dies. It's gone. Some of you might even throw it on a fire and burn it up and it's rid of. See, that's the metaphor that he gives us for people who are even part of the church but aren't connected to Christ. There's kind of a dire warning there. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. And so remember when this conversation is taking place, I told you it's in the Last Supper. He's talking to his disciples. And Jesus, he says, this is who I am. I'm the vine. You need to stay connected to me. I'm the way to eternal life. And he's having this conversation with the disciples. And essentially what he's saying is, those Jews, those Israelites, those religious leaders that are in the temple worshiping every day, they think they got it all figured out. They're getting cut off tonight. When they take my life on Good Friday, you need to know that they're going to be cut off from God the Father. You do not have salvation through their ways, only through me, through the cross, through my death. My blood being shed for your sins is what he's saying to his disciples. This is what it's going to look like because Israel, they stopped being the church. They put all these rules in place, right? You had to comb your hair a certain way on Sunday. No, I just made that up. But they had these things that, like, people couldn't even live under. They were impossible to keep. And Jesus came and said, you know what? This is not what the church is. This is not what it should look like. And he showed them a new way. And then he goes on to say, if you're in the church, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ, and you're connected, he says, he's going to prune you. Meaning that anything that doesn't produce fruit. Now, here's another way to look at that. Anything that you might find that is not glorifying to God, maybe that takes away from God the Father, we could even maybe label that as sin, all right? Things that are not going well for you in your life, God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you continue to pursue him in your life. I feel like I don't have enough room up here this morning. You need to know that he says, God the Father, because he wants you in heaven, he's going to cut that branch off that's not producing, that might be dragging you down, that might be sinful, that might be pulling you from the ways of God. He's going to get rid of it in your life. And what do you know about an apple tree? You know, I spent a lot of time over in the Leicester area in there, and there's an old apostolic man. I can't remember his name. I want to say that it might have been Leo Mosier. Does any of you ever remember Leo Mosier at all? But he said, how well should you trim an apple tree? And this is what he said. And if I had a hat, take your hat off, you should be able to throw it through the tree. And it shouldn't hit a branch. If you can do that, that means that you've trimmed the branch far enough. And I mean, and you would just butcher that tree, and there'd be just a stick there and a stick there and a stick here. And you think, this thing ain't going to grow nothing, right? But what do you know about an apple tree or even a fruit tree? If you prune it back well, it produces what? More fruit, right? See, and Jesus, God the Father, knows that about you as a Christian. If I can get rid of the clutter in your life, the stuff that's keeping me from Jesus and following him, you're going to be a stronger Christian. You're going to produce more fruit in your life. And it's not easy getting pruned. It's going to hurt. There's some things in your life that you maybe don't want to give up, because you like them. Maybe you enjoy them. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't allow you to enjoy life, that he doesn't allow you to be blessed, he doesn't allow you to have your desires met. No, not at all. But those unproductive things that God says, you know, you don't need that to live. If you're going to stay connected to me, we're just going to get rid of that. You don't need that in your life. And so we got kind of a wake-up call here this morning to us as followers of Jesus, right? He says to remain in him, and then he'll remain in us. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You know, there's no such thing as an independent Christian. You ever heard that term before? I'm an independent Christian. No, doesn't exist. See, you're all part of the body. You're connected to the vine, right? To the root that feeds you through Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to remain in Jesus here? I want to give you some application things to think about in your Christian walk. And so here's the first thing that I want you to think about. I think it's a metaphor for continuing to pursue Jesus in our lives. That you're in pursuit of who he is and what he's doing in your life. And that's a daily thing that you do. So notice what Jesus says to his disciples in John 15, verse 3. I don't have that verse on the screen, but here's what it says. And you can underline it in the Bible if you have it. He says this to them as they're having this conversation. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Meaning they heard the word of God. They believed the word of God. They were doing what the word of God said. See, so you and I are the same way in our lives. When we read scripture, we hear the word of God, Christ speaks it to us, and now we have to be obedient and do the word of God. And Christ says, if you do that, you're going to be clean. Even though you sin through the blood of Christ. That's grace, that's mercy for you and I here this morning. Second, what does it mean for Jesus to remain in them or in us this morning? And that's pretty straightforward, pretty simple when you think about it. What he's talking about here is that if you live in me, I'm going to promise I'm going to live in you, and I will send my Holy Spirit, and I will fill you, I will guide you, I will give you life to the full. This is what he says through the Spirit. Did anybody feel the Spirit move this morning, and we're singing Christ Arose, and that hymn's going off, and da-da-da-da? Right? You just want to get up and jump for joy. Amen. Just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. And some of you are thinking, well, I don't know if I want to go to church the rest of my life. And no, that's not what heaven's going to be like. If that's your thought, you're way off base. But what a day it's going to be. The Spirit living in us. Thirdly, I want to talk about the fruit. What is the fruit that Jesus is talking about when he says, hey, if you stay in me, you know, you're going to produce some great apples in your life. Let me first answer it this way. I can tell you what it's not. And that might be easier for you to understand. I can tell you that the lack of fruit or the failure to produce fruit means that you and I as followers, and I'm talking about followers of Jesus Christ here, right? Those who believe in Christ, means that you're not being obedient to God. We're not following what he's teaching us or what we're learning or what he's asking us to do in our lives. And when you stop following God and you say, no, God, I don't want to do that, and you might say, nope, you avoid and you push back and you say, you know, all those types of things. When you're disobedient, you're not going to produce fruit. You become a fruitless Christian. Don't get it mixed up with a fruity Christian, all right? A fruitless Christian. And you're not, and nobody's going to see that. And not that you do it for him or for yourself, but you do it for the glory of Christ, right? For the glory of the Father. You produce fruit because you love him and you love being a part of his kingdom. So let me explain the fruit a little bit more. I'm going to give you two interpretations this morning of what that looks like in your life, right? Here's the first one. The fruit he's talking about to you and I is living a Christ-like life produced by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just go a little deeper with you this morning. If you give your life to Christ, does that mean that you got it all figured out and you're living the perfect life the moment? Yep, Lord, you're my Savior. I'll follow you. Is that how it works, church? No, you come broken, right? You realize that you're a sinner and you need help because you can't get it figured out. You get over yourself. You figure out, you know, I can't make it as an independent Christian. Right? It doesn't work. Living a Christ-like life. The second thing I want to talk to you about is that when you live the Christ-like life and you're bearing fruit, you are going to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be easier for you to do, and you're going to come across situations that God's going to place you there, and it's going to kind of happen spontaneously because people see that you're living for him, and they're going to want what you got. How can that person do what? Shouldn't he just be like beside himself? All these things have been happening, this has been going on, that's happening, and still, why isn't he mad? Why isn't he angry? Why doesn't he fly off the handle at us? You think that? No, because he's got Christ living in him. The Spirit's within him. He knows who's in control. He knows who holds tomorrow without any doubt. People see that stuff. So I think Jesus is speaking about both here when he talks about fruit in your life. And there's even further definitions that I could go into this morning, but I won't because of the sake of time. You know, that whole passage in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit and what our attitudes and the way that we should act, all those things could fall into that this morning. But here's the bottom line. There should be a result of your faith. It should be producing something for the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, you need to constantly be evaluating your life and ask this question, what kind of fruit am I producing? Go home and wrestle this week with that. What kind of fruit am I producing, church? because of the Spirit's alive in you. He's going to drive you to produce fruit. How many of you ever had that where you had this awful feeling in your gut and you know you just got to do this thing that you're called to do? You ever had that? I mean, it's not easy. Maybe it's going to go have a tough conversation with somebody and you don't want to go and you don't know what words you're going to speak, but yet inside of you there's something telling you that you need to go do this. Anybody ever been there? Right? All right, teenagers, let's level the field here this morning. You're out past curfew, and you pull up in the garage, and you get out of the car, and mom or dad's waiting inside the house for you. What is that feeling that you get before you go through the door of the house? Ugh! Oh, here it comes. Some of you are smiling out there this morning because you know exactly what I'm talking about. See that feeling that you get? See, the Spirit, when it works in you, God's going to cause you to go do things like that in your gut. He's going to say, you know what? You need to go talk to that person. You need to get this figured out. And it might be something that maybe you're struggling with, but it also could be that they need to hear from you because they need encouragement. They need to be lifted up. They're struggling with things in their life, and they need to hear a word from you that will, you know, just will bless them. That's what they need. See, and the Spirit, when you're connected to the vine, is going to cause you to produce fruit in your life. So you need to always be evaluating your life, Christian. What kind of fruit am I producing? Now, there's bad fruit out there, too. We don't need to get into that today because Jesus fought that and won that, right? But staying connected to the vine is work. Church is just not a social club. As a follower of Christ, he calls you to work. And sometimes the work is difficult. It's hard. It's not easy. It's brokenness. It'll bring you to tears. It is heartache. It can be devastating. And right now, some of you are thinking, that's not what I signed up for. But then Christ says, carry your cross. He didn't sign up for that either, but he did it willingly. And so you and I, we're going to face some of the hardest things in life. He says, you're going to have to bear your own cross. And every one of us will have a different life and different hardships and things that we're going to go through. But what I can tell you that is if you follow him, you're going to be more blessed than anything else you could ever accomplish in the world. As a follower of Jesus Christ, that's where you'd be blessed in an amazing way. So you and I, we have a part to play in this I am statement this morning. If you want to know the verses I'm going to reference, it's John 15, 6 through 8 is where it talks about this. But you and I, we have a decision whether or not we're going to center our lives around Jesus or not. That's what he's going to ask you and I to do this morning when we read this. I am the vine, you are the branches. You need to stay connected to me. And so you need to reorient your life and you need to follow Jesus and pursue him with all your heart, right? With all your soul, with all your mind. What does that look like? If you decide not to, this is what it says, verse 6. If you decide that, you know what, I don't know if I can follow this Jesus. I don't know if it's for me. And this is a hard verse to hear, but this is the truth. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. I can't get any more straightforward than that with you. That's a picture of hell right there. That's what Jesus gives us, one or the other. And here's what I you know, this is what you need to be aware of. Now, most of us, you're thinking, well, yeah, that's the unbelievers, right? No, he's talking to people that are in the church. They say they're connected to Jesus. They speak it with their mouth, but they produce no fruit. There's no works. The Spirit isn't alive in them. And that's his warning to them. He says, hey, people, you got to do both. You got to speak my name, but you also got to do the work of the kingdom. Produce that fruit. So it's a warning for you and I today as well. So here's the question that I want to send you home with today. What should you take away from all this morning? What does it mean for you and I? As we walk out of here today and we go to life, we go to dinner this afternoon or supper or your family gathering, and then you head back into your work week. What does this look like? All right? And so I'm going to challenge you here this morning, to be honest with you. So what should you take away from all this? Here is the first thing that I want you to think about. We know that believers produce fruit. But what are you rooted in? Now, I'm gonna clear the field with you this morning, and I'm going to tell you that this is a loaded question. And I want to set you up for that intentionally this morning, because I want you to get this, okay? I'm not tricking you here, but this is going to be very real when I get into this. And I'm going to challenge you in your faith here in just a moment, all right? So listen closely, and I want you to answer. Don't give me the pat church answer, okay? And just roll, yeah, I believe in Christ. I want you to go deep in yourself this morning, all right? So let me get you started into what are you rooted? What are you drawing your nourishment from in life, all right? What might be some of the false or bad vines that you might be connected to that pull you away from God? Start thinking about some of those. Okay? Now, let me also clarify this, that when I say unproductive or bad vines, it doesn't mean that the things I'm going to bring up to you are terrible things. God's given them to you. He's blessed them with you. But the order that you have them in is what I want to stress with you this morning. And so here's kind of what it looks like. Ask yourself this question. I got it in the bottom of the screen. If I lost blank, everybody see the black box on the bottom screen this morning? If I lost blank, then my heart would fail and my life would be over. Now you're thinking, what could that be, right? It's not a trick question. If you have your outline with you this morning, I want to go through on the back side. I got some things for you to think about. And so I want to keep that up there just for a moment. Get real. Right? If I lost the internet, my life would be over. How many of you have had the electricity go out for like 2 hours and you're sitting around going like, boy, life is boring, right? And your kid can't, how about young people, if you lost your gaming device, would life be over? Some of you are talking, I can hear you chirping there in the, yeah. If the electricity goes out and you lose your phone, you lose your internet, you lose your gaming device, you can't imagine living without it. Now, this is the easy stuff. It's going to get harder as we go. What if you lost your job and you got to work tomorrow morning and said, you know what, here's your red slip. It was nice knowing you. Have a good life. Could you stand underneath that and walk away and know who holds tomorrow and not be shaken by that? Here's another one. By the way, I have this on a list, and you might be able to read it. But if you don't, look in the back side of your outline. What about wealth? You take all your comfort and the money that you have, and you find that you can do anything as long as you have money. What if your wealth is suddenly taken away? What about sports? High schoolers that are involved in sports. Maybe that's your world. What if that was gone tomorrow? What would happen? What about your achievements, people? Your accomplishments? What you're known for? If that was erased and it didn't matter to anybody, how would you feel? Who would you be? What's your identity? and the community that you live in? What are you known for? What about your reputation? Now here's where, Caitlin, follow along with me here. Here's where I want to get really real with you today. And I'm going to be honest with you, this is hard for me too. I better write one more up here. If you're married, if your spouse was suddenly taken away, could you survive? That's a hard, difficult question. If you had a child that was suddenly taken away, some of you have been there in a car accident, and you know who I'm talking about probably for some of you, where would you stand in the midst of that? What about your family? If you lost part of your family today, what would you do? And this is what Jesus is asking us to do, people. When he says, stay connected to me. You see, a lot of people, we put this first, don't we? Our family, our extended family, our children. I should write children back here. See, we put our spouse first, maybe our children, maybe, and you can put work first, whatever it is. And this is what Christ is asking for you and I to do in our life. Always keep him first. And when you can keep Jesus first in your life, all those other things that I'm talking about this morning, and I'm not saying they're bad vines, but if you got to run to your spouse, you run to your children, or you run to your place of work, and that's where you draw your nourishment from, and you're not getting it from Christ, I'm just going to tell you that you're going to be disappointed, you're going to be let down, and it's not going to get you where you want to be. And you're going to have hard stuff to deal with. And it's going to be tough. And what Christ is saying to his disciples is you don't know what's coming 2 days from now, let alone tomorrow, when you think I'm dead. And he says, if you can keep me here, all this is going to be just fine. Amen? Did it give you something to go home and think about? How do you see those things? Those are good things, people. I love my wife. I don't know what I'd do if I lost one of my three boys. I love my parents and my in-laws. Well, most of them I do anyway. But you get the point. See, they're all important to me. Right? Here's what I want you to know. I don't know when, I don't know how, but at some point we're all going to meet Jesus face to face. And my job this morning that I felt like when I brought this message to you is, are you ready for that? That's what it takes, people. That's what Jesus is saying to you and I this morning. I am the vine. And when life sucks, and life is hard, and it doesn't, I don't like it. He says, hang on. I've made all things new. Amen? That's what we look forward to. That's the hope we have. When you walk out of here today, hold your head high, Christian. The work's done. It's over. The last thing you're going to face is death if Jesus doesn't return first. That's hard, but I know he'll get you through it. You're never alone. I've gone all through these I am statements with you, and what God brings to us through Jesus here is amazingly powerful. Hang on. Let's pray. Lord, help us to stay connected to you. Lord, there are a lot of things that compete for our lives today. Lord, there's a lot of things we love that you've given us in our world that we live in. And they can be some great things, good things, blessings, but may we keep them in the right order. May we always keep you first in our life. May we come to you first with our issues and our problems and also our gratitude of the great things you've given us. Lord, may you empower us by your Holy Spirit. May you give us strength and wisdom to conquer the things that we will face in this world. And may we always keep our eye on the prize of eternal life with you. Lord, we give you thanks for the cross. We give you thanks for this resurrection day, that you made this all possible. We give you praise. In Jesus we pray these things. Amen.